Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you hear those words, you can feel good knowing that. State Farm is there to help you feel supported with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. Now, let me tell you, girl, I don't got a boat, a motorcycle, or an RV, but State Farm covers my home and my car.
With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help protect your future by helping you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And you know what? Getting insurance can be so intimidating because you don't know exactly what you need. So having an agent that could help you with each step makes it so much easier.
Girl, I feel you on that. So when things get complicated and you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too. Maybe you like to handle things in person or on the phone with your local agent, or you prefer to do it on statefarm.com or on the award-winning app. State Farm lets you do things your way. I personally am the type of gal that likes to do things through an app. It just makes it more easier than going in person or hopping on a call. So I love that they have that option available.
Girl, I like to use an app too. I'm not trying to pull up in person or a call because I have too much social anxiety for that. I'm trying to do it on the app. So that's why I'm here with State Farm.
And that is why, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Are you ready to turn your best ideas into a thriving online business?
Introducing Shopify, your no excuses business partner. You might not realize, but our podcast, More Than Mammies, it's a business. And we started it, of course, to talk about maternity, not to become an e-commerce expert.
So yeah, we needed some help selling our merch and getting our store up and running. Another sale.
Shopify is a commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide.
No matter if you are a garage entrepreneur or a big business, Shopify is the only tool you need to start and grow your business without the struggle.
With a Shopify single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere, giving you the insights you need wherever you are. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase.
Go to Shopify.com/Sonoro to take your business to the next level today.
Shopify.com/Sonoro.
It is necessary that the sense of competitiveness among the major nations of the world does not become a wall between them.
Over the past decades, citizens and workers have been calling for change, but too often their pleas have been ignored. Too many politicians become disconnected, refusing to really listen. But that approach can't and won't cut it anymore.
If we commit ourselves to make our current globalization more fair, sustainable, in favor of middle classes, if we commit ourselves to enable our youth, if we commit ourselves to take into consideration long-term and complexity of our decisions, so we can converge and build a new globalization, understandable and good for our people, resuming this great idea of progress.
As President of the United States, I will always put America first, but America first does not mean America alone.
This is the Global Goals Cast. Well, as a fact, it is the Davos Goals Cast, because this is a special episode in which we're going to be sharing with you our takeaways from the World Economic Forum's annual meeting 2018. We will be sharing with you our observations, the clips that we think represent what happened during the week, and also some of the greatest moments that we thought it's important to share out with the world.
And what a week! World leaders warning that globalism is running out of steam. And Donald Trump says what's good for the United States is good for the world.
The big conversation here this week relates directly to Global Goal number 8, committing the world to creating decent work and economic growth for all.
But actually, it is even bigger than that. David Navarro, who was the Undersecretary General for the United Nations to promote the Sustainable Development Goals, stressed to us here in Davos that all the goals fit together.
You can't take different aspects of people's lives and say we will work on them separately, because everything really is connected up. And so although there are 17 goals, when you study them, you find that everything relates to everything else. If there's not peace, You can't have prosperity if that's not prosperity. Women and children can't be healthy. Mm. If women are not empowered, you can't have good nutrition.
All the major leaders here, Edie, talked about this interdependence, how to keep growth going and how to share the benefits better.
With Donald Trump at one end of the argument, saying every country should fight for its own interests, and Emmanuel Macron of France, Narendra Modi of India, and Justin Trudeau of Canada, all in different ways saying that globalization is broken and that the world needs a new, more equitable global system, or we will fragment and fail. Joining us later will be two insightful observers of the global economy, Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia, and of course the omnipresent Richard Edelman. You know him, head of Edelman Communications.
Time to repair the roof when the sun is shining. I'm borrowing from John Fitzgerald Kennedy. He actually focused his speech and opened his speech, focusing on the next generation. In this moment of global growth and European recovery, we have an opportunity to do the difficult things which might otherwise go undone.
So, Claudia, we heard Christine Lagarde open the whole session of the World Economic Forum talking about fixing the roof when the sun is shining. And I imagine that means the economies are working, but there's a whole lot that's not working. Is that hard for world leaders to come here and hear?
Well, particularly because everybody was so optimistic about the world economy, how everything is growing, unemployment numbers have never been, you know, like lower. And I think that there was a lot of optimism matching, you know, like a lot of, okay, we need to fix this situation. Globalization is not really working. There's a better capitalism that needs to happen. But I'm not sure we got the answers.
We'll play for you some translated clips from India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi, also Canada's Justin Trudeau, America's Donald Trump in his own voice, no translator, and France Emmanuel Macron, which is also translated.
I see that many societies and countries are becoming more and more focused on themselves. It feels like the opposite of globalization is happening. Everyone is talking about an interconnected world. But we will have to accept the fact that globalization is slowly losing its luster.
Progress of any kind takes hard work. But by thinking big and working together, we will build a better world.
When people are forgotten, the world becomes fractured. Only by hearing and responding to the voices of the forgotten can we create a bright future that is truly shared by all.
Unless I give a meaning to globalization, if I cannot explain to people that it's good for them and that it will help them to develop their own lives in 5, 10 years, 15 years' time, they will be the nationalists, the extremists who want to get out of the system, and they will win, and it will happen in every country.
Have a listen to what Ken Roth had to say. He spoke to me the day before Trump spoke and after Modi did.
Modi came, the Indian Prime Minister, and trumpet, you know, the great economic progress he's making. He talked about inclusive economics, but he utterly ignored the very divisive Hindu nationalists who are demonizing the Muslim minority in India and who are intent on getting anything but an inclusive political system. And I fear that Trump is going to do a bit of the same thing. He's going to say, you know, the American economy is booming and America First is working. But here he is, you know, building his government around, you know, racism, misogyny, xenophobia, Islamophobia. He's not going to address that stuff.
So Jimmy, Richard, thank you for being with us. You've been both here coming to Davos for some time now. I think that it's like 20 years and 10 years or something like that. So what did you make of this year? So Richard, let's start with you.
So the big reaction I have is a lot of optimism about the global economy. Every country in the world, maybe with the exception of Brazil, showing strong growth. That's the first kind of coordinated growth we've had since the Great Recession in 08, 09. And so a lot of business people were very optimistic. And then on the government leaders, the frame of, on one side, Macron, who talked about the need for a global trading system in which countries give and take. And then President Trump talked about America First in a very profound way and said, obviously, it's working because the stock market's at record highs 84 times, and also that record low unemployment rate for Hispanics and Blacks. And so America's a great place to invest. So it was really quite a contrast between the European view, I guess, and then the American view. The ideas of sustainability or of blockchain were, of course, present, but they weren't as powerful to me as the contrasting messages of Macron and Trump.
What about you, Jimmy? What were your main takeaways from this week?
I mean, with Richard, I saw a lot of optimism, which always makes me a little bit nervous because when Davos gets too optimistic, then we have a financial crisis. We always seem to get that wrong.
Sometimes they hit the theme better than others. Sometimes it's completely off. For me this year, talking about a fragmented and fractured world was quite interesting, and I felt it was spot on. Is that what you saw during the week? A fragmented type of discourse? People saying one thing and then another person doing another.
That's interesting because I didn't take the theme of the conference to be fractured world within the Davos community because I think one of the classic criticisms of Davos is a lot of like-minded people talking to each other, trying to save the world while being very rich. That's kind of the classic put down of Davos. But I think outside, there is quite a fractured world, and I do think it's something that this community needs to address and to think about, is to say, look, there are very broken narratives in many, many countries where people can't even agree on basic facts, and that makes it very hard to make democratic progress, progress on the goals, all those things.
So is it because you didn't feel a lot of dissonance because there's an etiquette that we felt that prime ministers and heads of state were all very worldly in their remarks as opposed to just like saying what their national narratives are?
I would have liked to, in the Q&A with Trump, I would have liked Klaus to ask him a question about a perennial Davos issue like climate change. He had an opportunity to not be insulting, but just to say, you know,
what are your views on climate change?
Because he did say some interesting things the other day after he'd come out of the meeting with the Prime Minister of Norway, that actually he thought there were some possibilities that we might accept some parts of the Paris Accord because it would be good for business.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's almost as if a lot of the countries are just leading and carrying on in sustainability because it suits them. Mm-hmm. And if it's China or if it's India, you're forced by air pollution to do this.
Maybe I'm biased because I love you both very, very much, but I do feel that both of the conversations very central to the entire, both of your themes and conversations were very central to everything I heard in Davos. Fake news, the need to actually be more transparent and factual, but also trust. And you launched the Trust Barometer 2018, a couple of days before Davos. Can you talk about the findings and what was the reaction of the Davos men and women to your findings on trust?
First, business is actually ahead of NGOs in many markets in terms of trust. Second, there's a clear sense of a return to expertise. Third, this polarization between politics particularly. And last, you actually see now that trust is not related either to economics or necessarily to an event like a tsunami or something. It's actually something that is how the country feels about its institutions and whether there's reliable information, which is a perfect segue to Jimmy.
Mm-hmm. We're bringing together a wiki-style community with paid professional journalists to work together to generate something new in the space of news, and really want to be very neutral, very factual, very evidence-based. But I think people really do feel that there is a bit of a turning point going on, that the quality, trusted news brands are beginning to be very successful. New York Times has had a huge spike up in subscriptions because the public is really coming to understand that the kind of information we've been getting across our social media feed hasn't been satisfactory. I know one of the interesting findings in the Trust Barometer was that the decline in people's trust in social media as a source of information.
People want experts, technical experts, academics, even CEOs, those poor benighted fellows, are now seen as more credible. And actually, most biggest change is 70%+ of people trust their employer the most. So news from the company is suddenly something really important because it's close to home. It's like the news safe house for the employee. And 2/3 of people also said they think business can make money and improve society. The same 2/3 said they don't want companies to wait. They don't want CEOs to wait. They don't want them to wait for government. Move. Do stuff.
we just take the lens back and think about what Modi said to start off the week, the implications of globalization is losing its luster. Yeah, we can't achieve the global goals without collective action. So can we achieve them without globalization?
It all depends on what we mean by that. Mm-hmm. I would say in general, obviously no, right? We have to have a global outlook for certain issues like the climate, for example. You can't fix the climate in just one country. It has to be fixed globally. On the other hand, what exactly people mean by globalism is always different in different people's minds. And what Trump put forward today as in a more positive way than he has in the past is this, idea of sovereign nations looking after their own interests, but looking for deals that are mutually beneficial to everyone. Okay, if that's your view of the rise of nationalism, it doesn't sound so horrible, as opposed to what I fear we've been seeing and will continue to see is a rise of a really nasty kind of nationalism, which is I'm in it for me and my country and screw you all, not looking for win-win solutions.
So particulate matter in San Francisco is going up because of coal plants in China. If you want a better symbol of globalization and the need for some degree of harmonization of rules on pollution, that's it. So, there's no helping going around the idea that you have to have everyone prospering and having some agreed rules.
We had Christine Lagarde saying it's time to fix the roof while the sun is shining, which I guess means that there's something wrong with the roof, right?
I think the gap between rich and poor is huge. And more than that, there are new problems. There are more people today, a billion people, who are obese. And that's more than malnourished for the first time. That's a new fact. And so, with, again, this sort of new prosperity, new middle class, et cetera, we do have to focus on these emerging issues.
I want to ask a personal question before closing, but so again, just because we just closed with President Trump, and I think that neither of us was surprised. And nevertheless, I wonder whether, there was something that you hoped that would be said. I was hoping that there was going to be in that narrative something about gender, for example, that he was going to use this opportunity to talk about that.
It didn't feel like a speech he
came to give
at the World Economic Forum. Right. It was a general speech about his policies and so forth. So that was a little disappointing. I did, like you, I had hoped he would sort of address the crowd more specifically on things that are of interest here.
I disagree with my friend on this point. I think Trump's worldview is that every country should follow the example of the United States. It's free markets, let capitalism go, and it'll fix everything on the basis that it will employ poor people, it will train people, just let the business people go. And
he did say free but fair trade.
Yes,
fair
trade
America.
Means fair in the sense of America gets its fair share of trade. So for me, the vision part of America that really has to be reinforced is about values and democracy and rights and freedom. And again, in its the most perfect expression, business does that.
Last year, Edie, you and I were talking about probably our highlight was having heard a global leader with President Xi coming and actually just stating something so grand and so profound. And
but I am sure that his view is I did exactly that, and that you should follow the example of America and deregulate and have markets run, and we'll somehow come to the right solution, as opposed to this grand version or vision of harmony
and a plan.
And so it's two fundamentally different views of the world.
Interesting. A different worldview than perhaps a lot of people here would naturally find.
It's the opposite of Davos man or woman. It is a hard charging, almost a small businessman approach to commerce. And it's a view.
Thank you so much, Richard, Jimmy, for joining us here to wrap up the week here in Davos. We'll let you guys go home and collapse.
And have a great year.
So all of that, all of what they said, directly ties to the global goals. To reach the goals, the world needs steady growth, more equal distribution, and a relief from wars. Whether those be wars with guns or trade wars.
But the phrase, we are going in the wrong direction, was repeated a number of times.
I heard a lot of people who graced the studio here this week talking about climate change, talking about very specifically moving away from coal, talking about fixing the way we produce food, talking about fixing the way we eat food and the way we consume. I heard a lot about the positive aspects of blockchain. I also heard a lot about the negative effects that the blockchain, that cryptocurrencies could bring just in terms of adding heat. I heard this another great comment from Kevin Delaney, the editor of Quartz, said that for him this year at Davos, climate change and robots are probably going to kill us, but women and the blockchain are going to save us.
I also think that a big chunk of the conversation was regarding how do we bring the 50% of the world to be in a better place, meaning talking about women, talking about gender. I think that there was the same amount of conversations happening at the World Economic Forum as side events, discussing gender, girl empowerment, education, where a lot of the players that were part of those conversations were not members of the World Economic Forum. But overall, I think that the Me Too campaign, what I heard that was interesting was not only how much momentum it created, but also that we have to watch out that we're not overdoing it because there might be a backlash on reaction about like, and I did feel it even myself about like how people didn't want to have a one-on-one meeting with me, you know, like overall just like being very careful and very conscious about like, well, you know, like now we have to be over conscious and over careful. So
I also heard some stories about men still behaving quite badly. Right. So I do think we have to be careful about that.
Not only the President's Club story broke here while we were in Davos with, you know, like the London story, making it the most popular story on the Financial Times in decades.
One final point from me. I spoke to Alicia Bárcena, who was talking about, oh, for the love of God, I can't get it right.
Alicia Bárcena,
who was saying to me that women are the face of poverty in Latin America.
Right.
For every 100 men who are in extreme poverty, there's 118 women.
Right. Okay, so I think that we're going, this is a wrap. We launched the Global Goals Cast in the World Economic Forum this year. We're liking what we're seeing, which is people care more about these issues. We want to provide a platform to identify the champions that are making the progress, to make sure that we talk to the people that are making the effort, because getting to a better world requires a lot of effort. And we're going to make sure that we will continue telling the story of those champions, be individuals, citizens, companies, or governments that are making it. So
that was Eddie Lusch. And I am Claudia Romo Edelman. This was the Davos Goals Cast, part of the Global Goals Cast. See you next time.
To make sure you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes, subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, you can also check out our dramatic episode about polar adventurers Robert and Barney Swan, father and son team that walked to the South Pole using only renewable energy. And finally, for the latest news and developments, or to share your own stories, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Global Goals Cast.
Thank you to our partners at the United Nations, UNICEF, World Food Programme, UN Foundation, SDG Action Campaign of the Office of the UN Development Programme, International Office for Migration, International Development Law Organization, Malaria No More, Rollback Malaria, Project Everyone, and Public Foundation. We are also grateful for the support of Hub Culture, SAS, Cultural Intelligence, Freud's Communication, Saatchi & Saatchi, Action Button, and of course, CBS News Digital. We want to recognize individual champions who have been supporting Global Goals Cast, including David Sable, David Jones, Will Lewis, and Seven Hills. And then to our amazing advisory board, Jacob Weisberg, Steve Rubel, Kate Stanners, Dolly Schoenfelder, Matthew Freud, Chrissy Tanner, Fawn Maturos Chatananyang, Sergio Fernandez de Cordova, Dinesh Pillawal, and Scarlett Curtis. The amazing music in this episode is courtesy of Peter Gabriel, Ashish Pillawal, and Andrew Phillips. And a special thank you to Harman as the official sound of Global Goals Cast. And finally, none of this would have been possible without the support of our main patron and Claudia's husband, Richard Edelman, who has been the angel behind Global Goals Cast.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.